this. So, welcome back another week. And Curtis, can you hear me now?
I got you. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I'm in Delta, Colorado, population 500, if anyone was wondering. But yeah, toward the tail end of my vacation here, and we'll be leaving tomorrow early in the morning. But let's do a little podcast for everybody. We got the show must
That
go
show
on.
must go on. So, how many days have you been out there now?
We got here on Tuesday. We got here about 7 o'clock at night. It was a pretty easy drive. It didn't take as long as we thought it was, about 11
Okay.
hours, something like that. Well, we made it fairly quickly, and we got here safe and
That's
sound.
pretty good news. So, yeah. So Delta, that's the name of the town, huh? Delta, Colorado.
Yeah, I was chastised a little bit by her dad that Montrose is the big city, and when I put that on Twitter, he quickly corrected me. No, we are from Delta, not Montrose.
right.
It's been pretty hot, but I hear it's been pretty hot back home as
I was
well,
gonna
right?
tell you're probably living the life over there, because we've been in the triple digits last day last yesterday. We're recording this on Saturday. Yesterday's races were canceled after the second race because of the excessive heat. So I want to say here in Cyprus, it could have topped out around 109, maybe around sometime in that
Oh
range.
my God.
So, yeah, it's been pretty hot today. It cooled down about 10 to 15 degrees, so it's still pretty warm, but a lot much better than yesterday.
It's been probably 95 to 105 over here, so we've been trying to not do too much, but we also go up in the mountains. We went hiking, and we went to some place called Land's End that was probably the highest I've ever been up in my life. It was literally I was scared driving on this gravel road back in there. April was driving, so she was nervous, and it was making me nervous. But I get going around everywhere.
Oh, okay, I can imagine that. So we're recording this on Saturday. We're gonna take a look at Sunday's card a little, Sal, and I want to get your opinion on since you left, LeBron has signed with the Lakers, Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors. So lots of things to talk about as far as the NBA and a little bit of MLB, because we have the freeway series going on, Dodgers and Angels. So we'll leave a couple of those topics for the after show. So I'll quiz you on some of those things. But we're recording this on Saturday. It's currently about 9 minutes to post for race eight, the Great Lady M Stakes here at LaSalle over the daytime, a grade two. And currently Marty's Freedom is 1-9. So I'll give you guys an update in the next few minutes to see if Marty's Freedom gets dropped down here in the Great Lady M. But Sunday night at Los Alamitos, we got an eight race program. Capped off by Bethel's Maturity, grade one there, and race number eight with a berth to the Cabinet Champions on the line. But eight races. Let's start off with the beginning of the card, Curtis. And we're going to have some heavy favorites in the first few races of the card. I wanted to get your thoughts on a few of these. But race one, 4.5 thoroughbred claimings, a field of six, $3,500 is the claiming price. And is Derby Tango the 1-9 post time favorite?
I think this will be a lot of people's single in the early pick four. It's just, should be the speed of the speed, especially drawing the rail, and has run three good seconds in a row there. For Rumen Gomez and Minor Rana, this horse looks double tough here in the first. If it gets away, it could be wire to
Yeah, I
wire.
think so too. If she just repeats that effort from last time out, she should win easily. She finished second behind Awesome Romance last time out. The main threat that I could see probably showing a little bit of speed could be the three Exotic Ovation, who have second on my numbers. That's the only horse that I could see getting away and showing a little bit of speed to keep that one honest. But if Derby Tango gets away, I think it's long gone. But I'll go 1-3. And maybe the four skating in the eclipse here for Fat Fisher, a horse that could probably improve second time over the nighttime over. But I think it's all about the one. The one is probably the one of the heaviest favorites on all of the races tonight. So I'll go 1-3-4.
Yeah, I agree with the exacta. You have the 1 and 3. I like Exotic Ovation puts the blinkers back on here, and just needs to run that race from 3 back to be competitive for third. Both the number 5 Love's Image drops way down in class, all the way from maiden 30,000, and comes over here and drops to the easiest spot you can find. Did show a bit of early speed. It was only 3 1/4 down. Maybe the class drop is enough to be competitive here.
Yeah, it's going to be Manuel Calvario and Barrington Harvey teaming up on Love's Image. So I'll go 1-3-4, and you'll go?
1-3-5.
All right, race one in the books. Race two, the second half of the early double. 4.5 thoroughbreds, conditional claimers. 2,500 is the claiming price. And this is a compact field of 6, but I thought it was a competitive field. You know, the 4 is going to be your 9-5 favorite on the class drop here, Rianne Rodriguez. And that's a barn that's been on a roll, whether with the thoroughbreds or the quarter horses. That barn has been on a good streak. And what do you think of Hollycat here in race 2?
You know, I put her in the 3rd spot. You know, I love Yannette Rodriguez around the turn, as I've said before. But I think stretching out from the 870 to the 4.5-yard distance, maybe this horse could be susceptible. I went with the number 1 tease place for first time. The clay for Jose Flores. Kind of, you turned me on to Jose Flores here with the hot Bob, your former lock, and should get a nice little stocking trip. And I'm hoping can overtake Holly Cat in the stretch.
I have Peace Place as my 3rd choice. I gave the check mark to the 6th horse, Aggressive Brawler. So we're both against Holly Cat on top, but we do agree that Holly Cat is a contender. But Aggressive Brawler, second time off the brief layoff, first off the claim for Jose Avalos, who's had a terrific season here with his thoroughbreds. And this horse gets Efren Hernandez. 2 starts back, looked very nicely there, breaking the maiden, then came back with a 3rd. I think that horse could have easily finished in front of fellow rival Tease Place last time out with a little bit better luck. So I'll go 6-4-1. So I think those are the main 3 contenders, as the morning line suggests. And I think the betting public is going to agree. I don't know if I'll probably go just the 6 or maybe 2 deep 6-4 or 6-4-1. I haven't finalized my pick 4. But I do give the check mark here to Aggressive Brawler.
Yeah, I like the exact 1-6. I like Aggressive Brawler as well, drawing that outside post. And I think if Tease Place maybe gets crossed over, maybe this one could have the better trip and pounce in the stretch. But, you know, having Derby Tango in the 1st, I'm going to try and beat the 4 Holly Cat in the 2nd, 1-6.
Yeah, all right. So I'll go 6-4-1 there in race 2. Race number 3, we got 4.5. Conditional claimers, 3,200 is the claiming price, a purse of 9,000. Feel it sick. And this looks like a duel between the old guys. We got a 10-year-old Southern Southern Lions versus a 9-year-old in this point that are going to duke it out on the front end. Who's going to win this duel, Curtis?
Gosh, you know, I want to say the 2 Southern Sunrise, but it just scares me that Chris Russell on the 2 Southern Sunrise, and Juan Sanchez goes on the 5 Tiz Point. You know, they're both trained by Lorenzo Ruiz, but I give the nod to Southern
Sunrise. Yeah, we agree. We're going to give the 10-year-old the check mark here. Looked sharp as can be last time out there, winning from a bit of a break, maybe a 2-3-month break, and looked sharp. Has rattled 3 consecutive wins in a row. Tiz Point has 2 wins in a row. But, you know, I think Southern Sunrise is a little bit quicker out of the gates. Chris Russell should have this one in the front. But I think it's very interesting that you mentioned, you know, Juan Sanchez is riding the 5, and he had ridden both the 2 and the 5 for the same barn of Lorenzo Ruiz. So it's very interesting. This is definitely a race where I'm going to single. I'm not going to try to use both of them or 3 deep or whatever. So I'm probably
okay.
I'm probably just going to go right off the bat Southern Sunrise and see if the 10-year-old can do it.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good single because, you know, I like that he's drawn on the inside there. And, you know, he's just the old crafty veteran. Yeah, he's been firing. I thought that I would like him at the 4 furlong distance, but he stretched right out to 4.5, and he proved that he could win there. For the 3rd spot, I'm going to go with number 4, put it there. This horse had a nice effort for 5,000, 2 outs back. And the horse is going to have to close on the 2 and the 5 if he's going to get a piece of that check. You know, versatility in the past, so I give him a little look here.
Yeah, we agree. Top 3 in exact order, 2, 5, 4. Do you think Southern Sunrise can get claimed? Do you think somebody will drop a claim here?
Yeah, you know, on those horses have, you know, won a bunch of races. Sometimes it can be hard to find conditions, and you know, especially with one of these horses that just keeps on winning and winning. You gotta. My dad always tries to run them twice a month, you know, to try and keep the owners happy. But with this one, he needs those rests in between races. But you know, it wouldn't be surprise me if somebody claimed him for a tag and maybe tried him 70.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. No show wagering there in race three, excuse me, but we agree. 2-5-4 here in race number three. That is the start of the pick six. Race four, we got 4.5 furlongs, conditional claimers. Shout out to Chuck. Cowdog, you mentioned how we talked about how he just liked the name of this runner. He claimed in 3 starts back at Sangida, came back here at Losada. Set the pace, got carried wide, and finished fourth there, 2 starts back. Then went back across town to Saida, shorts on speed and faded in the stretch. Now back over the daytime mobile, drops in the tag. Cowdog is definitely the horse to beat.
Yeah, you know, gets that nice post there. Yeah, he's coming back to Los Al and cuts the claiming price in more than half. But I really like that my dad threw the blinkers on this horse. And I think just the class drop, and putting the blinkers on, he's probably just trying to get a victory here, you know, a photo, and probably just trying to get the horse playing.
Tell me, what's the story on Cowdog? Did he just like the name, or what was it?
Oh, you know, my dad, he likes to rope and do all that stuff, so he probably just looked at this horse in the form, and I mean, I had heard him say before, oh, I really like that horse, Cowdog, and finally, you know, he went out and got it, and it hasn't panned out too bad. You know, he hasn't got a victory yet, but, you know, maybe he can get a win and get by in the claim box and he keeps them.
Yeah, so he's going to be down for a $5,000 claiming tag. He is running for a purse of $11,500. So he wins here. He picks up a nice check. Maybe gets claimed. They're pretty much out almost even if he gets claimed on this runner.
Exactly.
So, in sense, it still makes a sense to drop this one here, and it has plenty of speed. And I do think that the outside draw could be beneficial, because if she breaks sharp, she can just cross over and take control of the race early on.
Yeah, he appears to be, you know, the one with the blinkers on. Yeah, he's not drawn in between runners. For other horses, I think the number three, this horse, I think, just didn't fire first time at Los Al. You know, was into 870. I think that's a little bit too much to ask first time, but stretches back out to the 4.5 distance, and I think this horse has more upside than the 2 or the 4.
Yeah, that's Elegant Charm, second time over the track, definitely improved. Kenneth McDade jumps over to Cowdog, and Edgar Pereira gets the mount on Elegant Charm. For my second choice, I went to the 4 Radio Chatter. Just draw a line through that last effort, was bumped in between, had to steady, never really involved after that. That effort two starts back there, finishes second, going 870 and 46.45. That's an effort that can get this horse into the second spot. So I'll go 6-4, and then for third, I'll give you a long shot of the 5, Baby Beauty. That effort, 3 starts back to break the maiden here locally, looks too good to ignore at a price. So I'll use that one as a long shot underneath. So I'll go 6-4-5.
I went 6-3-4.
All right. Radio Chatter there, Felix Gonzalez. We agree that could be a threat. That's the payoff leg of the early pick 4. Race 5, we're switching over to the quarter horse part of the program. And they are going into the gate here for the Great Lady M Stakes, a grade 2 here at Losada over the daytime. Compact Field of 5 and the 4, Martin's Freedom, is your post time 1-5 favorite for grading by Nike and Bob Baffert going to the gate. But let's see what the quarter horses have in store here for Sunday night, race 5, the start of the pick 4. Quarter horse is going 300 yards. Maiden claiming is going 12-5. And we got a few first-time starters between the 1, 4, and 5. But do you agree with me that the experienced runners definitely hold the edge in this spot?
Yeah, but also I think this race is really tough. You know, we got horses coming off years worth of layoffs here. I thought maybe I would be getting a price on the 3. Bergard, I believe, laid the horse 5-2, and but is coming back. Hasn't been seen since December 2015. Jorge Farias that day, but this horse carries the best speed figures, and I think if just is doing all right on the comeback, should be pretty tough.
Yeah, CC San Repair has not raced since the 11th of December of 2015. Finishing third there in that maiden event was claimed. Now has been off since then. Posted a pretty good 12:30 workout back on the 9th of June for Jorge Farias, and Rodrigo Aceves is going to have to mount. I do agree that he's going to be a tough horse to beat if he runs back to some of those races. But I'm going with the recently run horse. I like the two of the Rising Sun here for Jesus Nunez, Erasmo Gasca. A couple of thirds in his most recent start. Dropping it in class for the first time up. Back up for a tag. He ran for a tag on debut and finished sixth. Been facing straight maidens now. Now dropped in class. I think he's going to be the now horse and the horse to try to beat. So I'll go 2-3. And for third, will probably be the sixth, Corona Hawkins. For Jesus Nunez, Jairo Rangel here. Finished fifth last time out. The two starts back, finished fourth, just ahead behind the Rising Sun. So if I'm going off of form, if I like the two, I think the six has to be in the mix. So I'll go 2-3-6.
Yeah, I tried to get some prices underneath here for second and third. I thought the 7, Corona Latte for Louis Bradvica, hasn't been seen since December 2013. But yeah, as we've seen in quarter horse racing, sometimes when these horses have been gone for a while, they can fire first time back. And I just like that this horse draws a good post. And then number 5, Driven, the first time starter for Jose Hernandez and John Wells. It's a pretty well-bred horse from yes. Bobby Cox, and has a nice 12:50 work on May 26th. Yeah, had been steadily working. And I think that's just a good spot for a horse that's, you know, fairly well-bred and an easy spot here to get his debut.
Yeah, so we have a pretty interesting field. We have the 3, 2015. The 7 has raced since 2013. That's so far back that you still see Moonist in the running lines there for Corona Latte. The first time starters there, you like the 5 Driven. I'll give a chance to the 1, still chancy there. That workout back all the way back in January of 1810. It's not too bad at all, so. Overall, this is a very head-scratching type of field. I don't know how deep I'll go in the pick four, but I'll definitely try to go at least 2 or 3 deep here to cover a few runners. So, to recap, I'll go 2-3-6.
And I went 3-7-5.
All right, that's race 5, the start of the late pick four. By the way, Gray Lady M here is now official. The 4 horse, Marley's Freedom, for Bob Baffert, gets the job done. Pace 240 to win. And the second choice, Sky Diamonds. We ran out the exactness. So the Great Lady M goes to Marley's Freedom here. Bob Baffert, Great Red Bag, and owners Shuttle Farm LLC. All right, back to the action. LO South, Sunday night, race 6. 300 yards, quarter horses, and maiden claimants going for a tag of $10,000. We only got one person shot in this field. That's going to be the 3, Omega Dasher for Jesus Nunez. The morning night favorite is going to be the two horse, Favorite Spectacle, for Chris O'Dell, taking a drop-in class for the first time. What did you end up picking here in race six,
I went with, I just thought that this horse drops into this his easiest spot yet. It drops into the and is a well-bred runner who faced some good two-year-olds, but just hasn't had a clean start yet. So that may be all it needs to win.
All right, so Favorite Spectacle, we do agree. He's coming out of those very good trial, 2 starts back. SC Moneymaker, Wicked Affair, Chickafoos. Even last time out, Wilder Ways, who came back to win the trial, was third there. So the drop in class coming out of against some very solid running company lines. We definitely do agree the Favorite Spectacle is the horse to beat. For my second choice, I'll go to the 1, Mr. I Violin for Felix Gonzalez. Granted, huge effort on debut, 2 starts back to finish 2nd at 56-1. Then came back, was involved in quite a bit of trouble there. One of the runners there got the cue, so that bumped up Mr. Allen to 4th in that effort. So, has been much trouble last time out, draws the rail, Lightly race could still improve. Saul Gold 2-1, and probably the five here for third. Who's Secret? Who's Paul Jones? And Caesar Frank. Draw line to that effort last time out. Was off slow, lost all chance. That effort three, two and three starts back. Those second place finishes make a ton of sense in the spot. So 2-1-5 here.
Yeah. Foo's Secret for second, dropped further down the ladder. They're to 10,000, throw out the last race, like you said. Secret's good speed figures for this group. For the third spot, I went with the number four, Kava Utah. Here has steadily improving works leading up to that 12.5 on June 16th. But it debuts at the $10,000 level and maybe can spring a little upset.
Yeah, that was a 12.50 draw on June 16th. Rock Good was under a hand right and won by about a neck in that draw. So overall, it wasn't too bad of a draw for this kind of level. So I can see why you're supporting the four. So I'll go 2-1-5 and you'll go
2-5-4.
All right, that's race six, start of the late pick three. Race seven, the start of the late double. There's two races left. You know what time it is, Curtis.
Late time for the late daily double.
And I'll give you a guess here because I have my lock of the night right here in race number five. I mean, race number seven. So I'll give you a guess to who I'm picking here as the lock of the night.
Okay, it might be the same horse I picked on top. Is it the number five, Double A Jess?
We agree. Wow.
Yeah, I think that horse should be pretty tough. It's been close in every race since being claimed six back, and the horse was an outside post. Yeah, Sheamus and Hot doesn't fire first time off the layoff. This horse could be tough.
Yeah, we agree here on Double A Jess. You know, sometimes you see horses get claimed and then kind of peak up and down. The form varies up and down, and there's some good efforts, some bad efforts. So that's none of this here for Double A Jess. He's fired each and every time. In 2018, he's become a new horse as a three-year-old. He now is in the barn of Clement Hurtado. But I like the outside draw. I like the consistency. Jonathan Roman stays aboard. He got to know him last time out. And I, you know, the three doesn't fire. I definitely think the five at Double A Jess is going to be the beneficiary. So Lock of the Night, Double HS, the three horse, Famous and Hot is the horse to beat. So I have him for second. Last seen in a maturity trial there for the $2 million. Ran fifth behind Matilda Check, A Political Lady, My Favorite Cartel. So those are some very, very good company lines. But I'm thinking that this layoff could prove to be a little bit too much to handle, especially going 300 yards. So we agree that Double HS could get the jump out of the gate. So I'll go 5-3-4. 5-3-4 here for me.
Yeah, I have the same numbers. 5-3-4. Perfect Eagle, you know, has been doing pretty well there with Jesus Ayala. Is never really, but I just don't like this horse's last race. Was the 100-yard dash, and then is stretching back out. That's an old Les Onaka angle. Horses coming out of 100-yard dashes. But you have a race two outs back of 15-50 if it's going to beat the five and the three.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to bring – she's definitely going to have to bring her best effort here. We got three fillies in the field. We got the one, the three, and the four. And then we got two geldings, the two and the five. So both agree that Double HS is the main pick here. All right, race eight, the featured event of the night, the Vessel of Maturity, great one, $170,000 plus the first quarter horse is going 400 yards. 4 year-olds are up. We have some old classy runners that have been duking it out for the last few years. And very good field of 10. Curtis, who's going to be the pick here in race eight?
I'm going to go with a horse that I don't think I've ever picked on top. I'm going with the seven, Zooming for Spuds. Oh. You know, just had to deal with Jess Hawk lugging in on the outside last time, put up into second, but I think that's the reason this horse just didn't really fire and couldn't go by because he had the Jess Hawk kind of lugging in on him. But has been competitive every time, and I think 5-1 is a great price on a horse that has already won a Champion of Champions.
Yes, the Champion of Champions winner, Zooming for Spuds, has been in pretty good form to begin the year. Last time out, got into some trouble there. and finished fourth, was then placed second via the DQ. Last time, both of us agreed that Jess Hawk was a horse to beat. She unfortunately locked in and pretty much cost her race. Finished second, but the one later DQ'd for third. The horse that impressed out of that effort was the 6 BH Thesis Boy. I'm against BH Thesis Boy today because he's drawn in between horses. He hasn't breaking all that well out of the gate. I think he could get into a little bit of traffic trouble with Flash and Bling and Swimming for Spuds being around him. So I'm going to pick the 8. Katie's Easy Moves here for Monte Rosa, Eduardo Nicasio. That was a super impressive win 2 starts back. And then came back and ran a pretty good second behind Tarzanito there on trials night. I'm not super sold on Tarzanito running 3 straight big races. He's going to have to beat me. And if he does, I'll let him beat me at 3-1. So I'll pick Katie's Easy Moves on top.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty competitive race. I agree with you on Tarzanito. You know, this horse just had such bad form before the last 2 victories and seems to be coming around. But, you know, to take the vessel's maturity, I don't know if I want to go with him on top. I think he just needs to prove a little more against these good horses here. I've had 6 BH Lisa's Boy there in second. You know, he just knows how to win. Yeah, it's hard to ever count him out. He's not going to win very impressively, but he just knows how to find the wire. And, going back to the number 2, Jess Hawk, there in the 3rd spot, you know, we were the only ticket alive, Quarters GD and I last time. We tried to get Jess Hawk over Zoomin' for Spuds and BH Lisa's Boy, but, you know, we were the only ticket alive for $8,000 that night. That was a bit of a heartbreaker.
And she did have a good lead at one point, right?
Yeah, she was up there, and we were really thinking that she was going to win as long as Vizu could straighten her out, but just kept lugging in and got beat by a nose anyway, a nose or a head by BH Lisa's Boy, and ended up getting DQ'd anyway for coming over on the horses to the inside. But this horse is racing ultra sharp to count him out.
Yeah, so BH Lisa's Boy there was visually impressive, rallying from the inside post to get the job done. Katie's Easy Moves is my top pick. Jess Hawk is my second pick. I'm going to give her another shot here from post 2. Post 2 has been a little bit bad luck lately, Curtis. We've talked about this a lot, but we'll see what Jess Hawk can do from the 2 post. For my 3rd choice, I'll give Tarzanito the respect of being the fastest qualifier and being in good form. So I'll go 8-2-4, and you'll go?
7-6-2.
All right, so now give me the bomb. Give me the bomb that could be in the mix. Some of these other horses on fire.
A horse that I've always liked, and I think it's kind of what should I say? A characteristic of some these all red runners that they like to break a little slow and finish well. And I think side. What do you think about that?
Seer drawing the outside, I think, could be very beneficial to get him into the mix. I mean, he was half a leg behind Ryan Grego. He comes out of the same trial as Tarzanito and Katie's Easy Moves. It's not like he was all the way too far back behind, though. So I could see why Seer could be in the mix here with drawing the outside post for Ulysses Gomez and James Lynn. So that's going to be the bomb for you. For my bomb, I'll stick with Branchino. He was a little bit flat last time out, but finally gets off the rail. That effort brings him back. Jumps aboard for the first time. If there's a long shot that I'll be kicking myself if he makes a good effort, it'll be the 9. So I don't want to leave that horse out of the exotic. So for the long shot, I'll go with the 9 Branchino here at 21.
Yeah, I think we got a pretty competitive field here again. Especially BH Lisa's and Zuma for Spuds aren't head and shoulders above the rest of these horses. You know, like we said, we've seen Tarzanito run some bad races, and here he is coming back, and he looks like a contender again. But who knows? And I also like your pick. That would be my 4th choice. The other Arosa horse there, Katie. There, what is she? She's in the 8 hole, correct?
Eight hole.
I mean, she came out looking really sharp, but I think being drawn next to Zoomin' for Spuds, I think Zoomin' for Spuds can get the best of her.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very good running of the best of maturity. I really like this field top to bottom. If you tell me the 1 has a chance to win or the 5 has a chance to win, I would believe you. I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk you off of anyone in this field That's how good this field is. So, all right, recap 8-4 and my long shot being the 9.
I'll go 7-6-2 and my long shot going to the outside, right to the outside of yours. I'll go Seared.
All right, that's the best of maturity. Grade 1 on the line. Not only a grade 1 win, also the winner earns their birth to the grade 1 champions later in the year. As we know, the Jesus boy, by winning the winter championship in February, already has his ticket punched. So if he wins, there's going to be a double birth that would probably be available later on, I believe, in the Gilman Go. I think the Gilman Go becomes the next spot to offer a birth. So if any double births are on the line. So we'll have to find out how the chips fall and the rest of maturity, but it's going to be a fun one here in Sunday night at Los Al. All right, Curtis, I wanted to pick your brain on LeBron coming to L.A. Official. He is coming here for, I believe, 4 years. I think the fourth year is an option. But are you surprised at the roster around him now? There's no Paul George. And as of right now, no Kawhi joining him in L.A.
You know, I was okay with no Paul George. I'm not a big believer in him anyway, as we've talked about on the show. But, I mean, I think waiting for Kawhi got me way more stressed out than wondering where LeBron was going for, because, you know, Kawhi, he keeps quiet, and it's mainly people from his camp talking. But, I mean, I think the Lakers definitely need to get Kawhi, but I don't think – we can give up too much for him. I think the Spurs are asking too much, especially for a guy who's going to be a free agent next year. I hear LeBron might be okay with waiting until then. You know, maybe he's taking a patient approach to this one. But yeah, you know, I really hope we can get Kawhi in here and not give up too many of our young guys, especially the way Golden State's looking right now, especially with their moves they're making.
Yeah, how about the Boogie Cousins? Just leapfrogging and just going straight to the Warriors.
I mean, who saw that coming? Somebody like Boogie Cousins taking a big pay cut like that. You know, I didn't see that coming. Guy that, you know, he's got an attitude. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So to go all the way down to taking, yeah, I do see that he's going to be coming halfway through the season, you know, off that injury, but I mean, just look at that lineup. They, without LeBron going to the West, that could be the All-Star team.
Right? Yeah, right there. They have an All-Star team there, starting five of the Warriors. It's pretty crazy to see, but you know, I don't know if you know, according to the rumors or the reports, nobody had reached out to Boogie. So, like, he was just sitting there, and no teams were calling. And he's like, "I'm gonna pick up the phone, call the Warriors, and see if I can join them." So, it's pretty bizarre the way all that happened.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, they take the little salary that they have to pay him, but also you get a guy that has, you know, reaches out to you and wants to play for your team. You know, it's not too many times we see players, you know, really show that fire, you know, and that drive. Maybe only a few at the top, but, you know, I would definitely take a pay cut to go to the Warriors. Don't have to produce that much, especially when they're not paying you that much, but God, they look so tough. What do you think? Kawhi maybe has a chance of going to the Clippers.
That's that was some of the rumors going on. Look, first of all the report of everything that the Spurs were asking the Lakers, we all knew that was too much, right? I sent out a tweet. I was like, "Oh, the Lakers got to do it, right?" And all these people were like, "Oh, it's too much. It's too much." Well, like, well, of course it looks like too much, but I think the Spurs did that intentionally to the Lakers to just be like, "We're not going to trade this guy to you. Like, if you really want this guy, then give us everything, right?" But I don't think the Spurs are going to trade Kawhi to the Lakers, because if the report is correct of everything that they're asking for, two picks and Ingram, Hart, and Kuzma. Of course, the Lakers are not going to give that up. But I think it was just kind of a message saying, "Look, guys, we're not going to send Kawhi to you guys. You guys want him that bad. Give us everything." So, now I'm thinking that there's no way Kawhi will go to the Lakers. I think now it's all about, will the Spurs get a package from Philadelphia, or can the Clippers build something of, you know, throwing pretty much all the young roster at them And maybe I think they got one good pick for next year that they could deal it. But I don't know if the Spurs would even think that's enough. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Now Tony Parker went to Charlotte, to the Hornets, which is pretty bizarre. I thought he was going to be a Spur for life. He signed a 2-year deal over there. Now, could that mean that Kawhi could stay at the Spurs? I don't know. I think it's pretty crazy what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think Tony Parker leaving and going, I was shocked as well at that. You know, I figured he would retire a Spur, but yeah, I think they definitely needed to do some trades and free up some people to get some younger guys in there. You know, Tony, good for so long. I think maybe it's just time for a changing of the guard. You know, maybe that keeps Kawhi happy, but they got to get something. I don't know. It seems like he wants out of there pretty bad. I'm in the same boat again as I was with LeBron. Guy's gonna go. Obviously, you know, Pop's gonna get the max value he can for him. You know, but he's no dummy. So we'll see where he ends up.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be interesting to see where he ends up. There's talk that he may sit out the season if there's no deal done, which is crazy to think of happening. But it's an interesting time. The NBA season has been over, and like now it feels like the off season has been even more entertaining than the final. So it's fun to keep up on Twitter with everything.
Yeah, I mean, we just have so much going, and I have been posted, you know, on Twitter. Looking at what's his name? The Woj? Yeah. Is he the one that breaks all the news stories?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of knew who he was, but, you know, he's the go-to guy now. I mean, he was just breaking everything. And, yeah, I posted it's kind of like WCW NWO days where you never knew who was going to switch teams and go where. I mean, we even had Clipper Darryl, the most loyal Clipper fan I've ever seen in my life. You know, LeBron has him jumping ship. How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's I was like, that was like a bandwagon mover straight off the bat. I was like, Clipper Darryl? So didn't he post something about when LeBron calls, it's time for a change or something like that? I was like, what? So it was pretty funny to see that tweet from Clipper Darryl. But I don't know. Why sweepstakes? I think it's gonna take a few more months, I think, to figure that out. I don't know what's actually gonna happen there. But I don't think this partner is just gonna give them up. I think they're gonna make sure they get something good in return.
Yeah, just wild moves going on. What's gonna happen? I just know it still looks like it's all Golden State. You know, they've and added a monster center. I just don't think they can get beat this season.
All right, so give me your prediction. Lakers over under games won 50.
I will say over. Okay. I think they'll be not much over. You know, they still got to play. They still got to play in the West, and they still have a lot of young guys. I will say they win 52.
52. Okay. I'm going to say they win 48-49.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how you can mesh together. And But I think LeBron is definitely going to bring a sense of urgency and leadership to that team that I think they were lacking before. You know, that they just had so many young guys. I think everybody was trying to figure out where they fit in. Especially before when Clarkson and Nance were there, I think Luke Walton didn't really know, you know, where everybody fit at that time, and you know they got rid of those guys that went to Cleveland. So
So now it's the first true season that Luke Walton has the pressure on him. Like now, like there's going to be a little bit of a more closer look at what's going on with the Lakers, because this is, you know, you got LeBron, you still got to make a little bit of impact here. You still got to make some noise.
Yeah, definitely. After he got to coach all the big core and Golden State and all the success he had, you know, everybody just said, well, look at who he's coaching, and all he's doing is giving Steve Kerr's orders. You know, anybody could coach that team. And he comes to the Lakers with a bunch of young guys, you know, and he didn't really have the pressure on there, even though he did come to Los Angeles. But deliver.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun season here to watch. As far as the West goes, the East is pretty much up to Philly or Boston now. I don't think anyone else is really in the mix of things. But other than that, I think it's gonna be fun to see LeBron in LA and see how the Lakers improve. So, all right, Curtis, thanks for the remote podcast, our first ever.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty smoothly. I mean, I could hear you loud and clear, and you know, I was just standing here. I'm out here. You know, the golden arches of McDonald's and a bunch of clouds. So I thought it went pretty well.
What did you get? A 10-piece chicken nugget and some buffalo sauce?
Oh, I had to beef up for the podcast. You know, like any good athlete, you. All your carbs with the chicken nuggets and the fries, you know, washed it down with a Coke, and I was ready to go.
Oh, that's the breakfast of champions right there.
How far away are you guys from?
Race 9 is going to post the final nighttime race here at during the daytime. So it's right around 5 p.m. First post is scheduled for 6. So we're about an hour away. So I've got about 20 minutes to go get myself maybe a club sandwich from Shawnee's and get fueled up for the races tonight.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that sounds great. We will be we're getting up bright and early. Actually, it'll be dark and early. We're going to leave at 3 o'clock to make it back home on Sunday. You know, we got a big drive ahead of us. We don't want to get stuck in that Vegas traffic on a Sunday. So, yeah, hopefully. I mean, maybe I'll stop by the set on Sunday night and come see you guys.
That could be a possibility. And you're going to miss out on a full quarter horse Saturday. Today's card is actually all quarter horse card, no thoroughbred. So you're going to be missing out. Hopefully you make a few wagers there from your phone.
Yeah, that's what I heard you and Scotty last night. I just tuned in for the last race, and I saw One Sweet Racy go into the Odell barn, and you know, she looked like she did over in New Mexico. She came back pretty well. But yeah, I heard you say it was all quarter horses. I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, you're gonna miss a 550 and a 100-yard dash and all kinds of straightaway races. So I'm sure if you get signal, you'll tune in for a race or two. So hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully, if not, we'll see you next week.
All right, man. Sounds good. Good luck, and hopefully get that lock home tonight.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.